Amen. Let's turn to the book of Jonah. I haven't talked about Jonah. Jonah's easy to pick on. Let's talk about Jonah this morning. Jonah 1 and 1 and 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh. Now, he's a prophet, right? He's a prophet, so he's just telling him what to do. And he said, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. This morning, I want to talk and teach from these words in the book of Jonah. I want to talk about the wheel, the well, the weed, the worm, and the wind. Amen. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity we have to come into your presence. Amen. With other believers, we're thankful, Lord, for the cohesion, adhesion we have in this church with your spirit. For where your spirit is, there's always harmony and unity. We're thankful for that this morning. Bless us as we endeavor to study from the book of Jonah in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I brought my little, one of these days, if we have any money left over, and we won't, when we move, it's already costing more than we think, but I'd like to get me one of these electronic boards, you know, how you pull and you just write with your finger and you push a button and it goes away. But until then, I want to talk about the wheel first. The wheel. So let's talk a little bit about the wheel. The most important thing in your life is the will of God. If you don't accomplish the will of God, you have accomplished nothing. Doesn't matter what your will says when you die, it won't matter. The only thing that's going to matter and last is the will of God. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word, my will never pass away. So if you pass away and you haven't done His will, then you pass away with it, meaning you don't fulfill the will of God. What good is life outside the will of God? Amen. Jesus said that He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The abundant life is when the will of God is performed in your life. If you're not performing the will of God in your life, you will never have abundant life. Amen. Abundance to me means something that's running over. He said, even the guy that had the talents, he had 10, right? He had 5 and he got 10. He took away the one that had and gave it to the one that had 10. He said, he that has shall have abundance. I mean, he got more than he even could generate. He got above what he even could, he got somebody else's. And so abundance is this running over thing. It's so full that it runs over. What did David say? My cup runneth over. It's so full. I want to be so full of life that this life just runs over into that life. It just runs over. It's not a big deal. It's just, death is a door. That's all it is. And I just go through that door and continue what I've already started down here. Amen. You see, we go from abundance to abundance. We go from faith to faith, from hope to hope, and glory to glory, life to life. We just pass on from one to the other because you have to have abundance of it. You have to fill one thing up to go into the next thing. And so many times, I'm afraid we don't enjoy the abundant life that God has for us. But I've tried to teach you the best way I know how that the scripture that says in the will of God is not in the book. It's not in the Bible. It never said in the will of God. We always say, I want to be in the will of God. It never says that. Not one time. Go look, because most of the people don't believe me. Because we've said it so many times, we believed it ourselves. It's like one guy, he had a picture one time. I went fishing with this guy at Bundix and Lake, and we didn't, well, what happened was, I don't remember whether we caught anything or not, but that night somebody else had come in and they had a big stringer of bass and they tied it between two trees and they had all these bass strung out. And they went in, they got their pitchers, you know, the next morning, and they went in to get something to drink. Well, my friend was waiting for me to get there. We were going to go fishing during the day. These guys had fished at night and caught this multitude of fish. So when they went in, he got his camera. He ran out there and he went, got him a pitcher. So we went fishing. We didn't do near that good, but it looked like we did.
He took that picture and he went back to Kmart. He was a manager at Kmart. Look what we caught. Look what we caught. And man, I had to hide because I wasn't going to lie. How about those fish y'all caught? Oh, yeah, yeah, those fish we caught. Those fish. He was showing everybody. He told me years later, he said, Marshall, I told that lie so many times I started believing it myself. And sometimes we have said scripture so many times that we believed in ourselves. What it never said in the will of God, what it talked about was doing the will of God, performing the will of God. According to the will of God. The will of God, when you're born into his kingdom, you're in his will. You couldn't get in there if you wasn't in his will. When my kids were born, they were born in my will. They immediately become heirs and joint heirs of what I have. So we need to quit struggling with trying to be in the will of God. If you're born again, you're in the will of God. What you need to do is do the will of God. You see, I have a will, but if you don't do it, then it's not done. So God has a will for all of us, all of our lives. But if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. So I hope that I have thoroughly explained that to you. The whole book of Jonah deals with the struggle of two wills. It deals with the will of God and the will of this prophet who didn't want to do the will of God. Jonah wanted to do his own will. However, God had already chosen Jonah to do. He was a prophet. And once God chooses you, once my children were born, it was my responsibility to keep them in my will, right? It was my responsibility to keep them doing my will. If I said do this, they're supposed to do that. That's my will that they're doing. Now, later on, they do that to their children, right? They correct their children because that's their will on their children's life. So when God chooses you, you have to do his will. He will find a way, just like I did in raising my children, to get you to do my will. And he will find a way. So any will begins with directions, right? So the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It came to him in the form of directions. And he had a set of directions that he had to accomplish if he was going to do the will of God. And so the will of God was delivered to the prophet Jonah. It was already prepared by God what he wanted done, but he delivers it to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and he said, I want you to go to Nineveh. This is my will. And cry against that wicked city, because I've heard that this city is wicked, and I want you to go cry against them. Be a witness against them. Prophesy unto them. Do my will. God had a prepared will for Jonah's life, but Jonah was not prepared to do the will of his father or of God, of the one that called him. And he'd rather see Nineveh perish. He hated those people. And many times, if we're not careful, our enemies get in trouble, and all we go, that's good for them. It's called malice. Oh, they had that coming. I could have told you that was going to happen. And we get this in our heart, and we'd rather see them suffer than to repent. Come on. And that's what Jonah was doing. He said, I don't want to go. I know if I preach to them, they're going to repent. I don't want them to repent. I want them to suffer. They treat me bad. So God has prepared a will for everyone's life, just like he has prepared a will for Jonah's life. Are you prepared to do the will of God? And many times people say, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. I don't know what the will of God is. Let me tell you, I can tell you real easy. The will of God, he says this, it is not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. It is his will that you should repent. It is his will that you should bring others to repentance. Because salvation always, always, always begins with repentance. Because what is repentance but a turning around? It's a turning. It's not a quitting. It's a turning. And so God's will for your life is to turn. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from the way you think about it, and help others to turn. And then when you turn, you're going the right direction. Right? When I preach to people, a lot of times, and I don't have this in this church, but I've heard many times people say, well, you got on to them about this, and you didn't get on to them about this. And it's all about the direction. Because what you're doing is going backwards. What they're doing to them is forwards. They're headed in the right direction, but you're headed in the wrong direction. They come out of the world. You've been in the church how many years? And so they got a long ways to go, but they're still headed in the right direction. But Jonah rose and went in what? The wrong direction. The wrong direction. He wants to go to Tarsus. He wants to flee from doing the will of God. Jonah did not want to give Nineveh the opportunity to repent. So Jonah ran from doing the will of God. And the problem is that many times when you run from the will of God, you can't do your will either. Sometimes, you ever heard, cut your nose off to spite your face? You can do things to hurt other people and it hurts you more. But you're so tied up with the anger and the hatred about it that you enjoy that more than you not be able to do your own will. It's like when I had a woodpecker problem at my camp and a blue jay problem with them eating all my pears. I was so mad at those, shotguns, I'm telling you. I was so mad till finally I decided I'll cut the tree down. I told my wife, I got one more invention left in me to stop this. Good thing it worked. I can get rid of all your squirrels. I can get rid of all your blue jays and red birds from eating your tomato. I can do that in a heartbeat. Good thing it worked, because the pear tree would have perished. Now, who would have suffered? Hello, me. I would have suffered. And that's what happens many times is when you don't do the will of God, you can't do your will either. And we have to learn from Jonah that the way of a transgressor is hard. And we have to learn that you can run, but you cannot hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. So the boat that Jonah gets in trouble. Why? Because Jonah got on the boat. And too many people let Jonah get into their boat and they find out that they have trouble because the spirit of Jonah has entered the boat. It wasn't Jonah, it's the spirit of Jonah that entered into the boat. And so all these mariners are now in trouble in an angry sea because God's angry at Jonah because he had caused the wind to blow. The storm gets so bad that the mariners finally decide Jonah has got to go. Have you ever got to that point where something's just got to go? It's got to go. This has got to stop. Today's the day. So they did everything they could to save Jonah, but when they couldn't save him, then they decided we'll draw lots. They did everything they could, and the lot fell on Jonah. Oh, my goodness. Jonah was doomed, right? And so they take Jonah, and they're going to throw him over, and so they can restore peace to them and say, sorry, Jonah, but we didn't ask for this. But can I tell you that God was prepared for Jonah to run? In raising children, sometimes when you do something, you know what they're fixing to do, so you're already prepared for what they're fixing to do. So the Lord knew that Jonah would run. And so he already began preparing other things. So Jonah 1:15, so they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Whew. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice. Guess what? Unto the Lord. These were people that didn't even serve the Lord, but now all of a sudden it worked for them. They all of a sudden saw the Lord in Jonah's being thrown over the boat. They sacrificed unto the Lord and made vows. And the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So now the New Testament called him a whale. He says a great fish there, but it was called a whale. W-H-A-L-E. Whale. So God prepared. He had a wheel. And when Jonah didn't follow the wheel, he had a whale. He had a whale. And the whale was already prepared. And so it was probably from a little bitty guppy. He said, you will be the one that will swallow Jonah. And it wasn't just any old whale that swallowed Jonah. It was one that God prepared. It's one that God prepared. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe that a man can live in the belly of a whale for 3 days and 3 nights. Me either. I don't either. Unless God prepared it. God prepared a chamber in there, inside the whale, that he could live inside that whale. If it hadn't said God prepared a whale, I'm like, okay, I go by faith. But if God prepared it, then it's simple. He made a whale that could swallow Jonah. Not only did he prepare the whale that would have the ability to swallow him and keep him alive for 3 days, he had him ready to be hungry right when Jonah was thrown off the boat. As soon as Jonah was thrown off the boat, he went right in. The Lord prepared him to go right when Jonah and swallowed him. Wow. God God can even prepare a table in the presence of your enemies, David said. God knows how to prepare your way ahead of you. He's prepared a place. I go away. I've prepared a place for you. Canaan's land was a place he was preparing for them. God is always ready. Can you say amen? So we have the well. So Jonah's going to spend 3 nights and 3 days in the well. Even Christ reflects back. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the well for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. That's really what we get out of Jesus concerning Jonah. And he said a greater prophet than Jonah is here. Because he put Jonah, if we look at those among the prophets, he was like the lowest. But yet they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But he said, you don't repent at my preaching. And I'm a better preacher than him. Not me, I'm talking about the Lord. Because I can't get people to repent most of the time. And so Jonah 2 and 4, then I said, now watch this. Because now the well will throw Jonah up, regurgitate him, okay? What made the well throw him up? Then said I am cast out of thy sight. Jonah's finally realizing after 3 days, you can't see me. Yet I will look. Say, I will. I will. I will look again toward thy holy temple. But I will, say, I will. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will, say, I will. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation, saving me, is of the Lord. And so when Jonah finally decided that his will equals my will, then salvation becomes of the Lord. So when Jonah began to think about doing the will of God, then all of a sudden, something happens. He aligned his will to the will of God, saying, I'm going to do the will of God, and the Lord spake unto the fish. Hello, fish. He said, he spake to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up, not where he had to swim in, not knee-deep water. This is how prepared this whale was. He crawled up on the land and said, now, go your way. Go do the will of God. This is a prepared whale. God has everything. So I don't know why I'm going through this. God prepared it. I don't know why this happened to me. God prepared it. He prepared it because you're his child. You're not going through anything that God hadn't prepared. You'll never catch God by surprise. He catches you by surprise. Jonah never intended on being in the belly of the whale. But when he began to praise God with thanksgiving, and he began to say, I will pay. He said, I will praise, I will sacrifice, and I will pay. The Lord said, now you're talking. And he talked to the fish. And it's interesting that the fish did the will of God at the word of God, and Jonah would not. And Jonah finally gets out, and he goes to the city of Nineveh, and he preaches this sermon. And he walks around, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. 4-0. Nothing. Can't wait for 40 days to get it. And he walks through this city doing the will of God, but angry about it. You ever done that? Guarantee you have. I want to treat them nice, but I don't want to. I'm going to say hello. I'm going to be nice, but I don't want to. Doing the will of God, but angry about it. God's not happy with that. Not happy with that. So he goes through and he talks to the people of the city, and he gets back, word gets to the king. The king says, oh my God, we're going to perish. I believe the word of Jonah. And the Bible says that the city repented. The king was so serious about the will of God that Jonah was not, that the king called a fast, not only for man, but for beast also. He said, man, this is serious. This is serious. I can't afford to lose this kingdom. We better turn from our wicked ways. And the Bible says in 3 and 10, and God saw their works that they turned. Everyone turned but Jonah. Turned from their evil way, and God repented. He turned too. He turned or repented from the evil and he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Wow. The will of God was done in the city of Nineveh, but not really in Jonah's life. Oh, he said, I'm going to do this. It's just like giving to the church. I'm going to give, but I don't really think that's not biblical. Keep it. Keep it. Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Keep it. In the belly of the whale, he wanted to be spared. So he was willing to do the will of God. But he didn't want the will of God done for his enemies. He didn't want Nineveh to be spared. How is it we're the ones that always want to be spared? We don't want our enemies to be spared. Only Christ could say on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Spare them while you kill me. 4:1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. I can't believe they're quit sinning. They're calling a fast. I shouldn't have said it so loud. And look, they're turning, and God's not going to do it. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was in my country? They had a conversation, obviously, before he left. He said, Lord, if I say this, they're going to repent, and I'm going to look bad. I'm going to go in there and say, yet 40 days, them's going to be destroyed, and you're going to repent of what you're going to do, and it makes me look bad because I told them in 40 days you're going to be destroyed, and they're not. I know they're not. I know they're not, but it makes me look bad. Preachers always look bad. I'm telling you, preachers have to always look bad because they can't tell the other side of the story. You only get one side of the story, and we got to live with it because I can't tell you and disclose the other side of the story. So I just have to go, okay, that's what you want to believe. Therefore, he said, I fled to Tarshish, because I know that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. I knew you would do that. And now I look like a fool going through the city saying, yet 40 days and it'll be destroyed. And you didn't do it. I knew you wouldn't. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. If you're going to spare them, take me. I can't face them. I've already told them they're going to be destroyed. Now they're not, and I look bad. For it is better for me to die than to live. I'm glad the Lord showed us these highs and lows of all their prophets. I mean, Elijah did the same thing, right? He did the same thing. And we see all the highs. He was on the mountain killing people. Next minute, he's in the cave hiding from people, Jezebel. The highs and the lows of living for God. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Aren't you hurting yourself by all this anger that you've got? So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, okay, made him a lemonade stand, and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. Now, I want to remind you something. As I read this, see, I read this story again, and I got something different out of it. As I many times do, reading the same story again, God opens up new thoughts. That he's going to be there 40 days. You see, he went through the city, and I'm just going to assume, and I think I'll be right, to say that the 40 days didn't begin until the last person heard the message. Yet 40 days, then it would be destroyed. I don't know how long it took him to walk through the city. Let's just say he made it in a day. I don't know. That would mark day one. So now he's going to have to sleep and stay in this little enclosure for 40 days because he won't know until he sees the end of 40 days. And if you know the Bible and you understand symbolism in the Bible, 40 days was the time of testing. It was the time of judgment. So when we look at the prophets and even Jesus, they fasted 40 days, right? Because that was the time of testing. And then Jesus was tested or tempted of the devil. And we find that the spies crossed over. They spied out the land. How long? 40 days. We find the flood went for how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was on Mount Sinai for how long? 40 days. It was the time of testing. And it wasn't to test Moses. It was to test the people in the valley. Because, like, let's just call it the 39th day, they decided Moses wasn't coming back. He's not coming back. Some bear might have got him, some wild beast. So let's just build our own God, and we'll say this is the God that brought us across the Red Sea. And it was, guess what? It was a calf, which is what the Egyptians served. So it was a testing time in which God tested them for 40 days to get out of them what was in their hearts. So this is a testing time, not for Nineveh, but for Jonah. Jonah now is going to have to stay in his lemonade stand for 40 days to see what God will do, knowing that God is merciful and God will repent of it. If they repent, he knows God. That's something to know, that if you repent, God will forgive you. That's worth knowing right there. If you don't get anything out of this sermon today, just know this. If you repent, God forgives. Jonah knew that. No matter how wicked they were, he knew that if you repent, God forgives. So in his little hut, there he is. And while he's in this little hut, I don't know, Jonah probably had less hair than me because he needed some shade. And evidently he didn't have a cap or didn't have any shade on his. My head was made for a cap. I don't know if y'all know that. It was made for a cap. And chapter 4, verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. We'll call it a weed. Okay. He had a wheel. He had a well. He had a weed. It's not the kind you smoke. He had a weed. Okay. So Jonah had a weed. And it made it to come up over Jonah. He made this vine. It was prepared of God. It wasn't just any little vine that you plant and it takes 6 months for it to go up the trellis and make big leaves, or 6 weeks. This thing does it overnight. God prepared a weed, and the weed grows up on his lemonade stand and gives him shade. It probably used his stand for a trellis and gave him shade for his hot head, literally. And Jonah was exceedingly glad, watch, it said, that it made a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Do you know that God still helps you sometimes when you're not even helping yourself? God has helped me in my times of aggravation and hatred and all the things that I have had in my heart. He even helped me during those times. But he doesn't help you forever. So Jonah was exceedingly glad. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the weed. Oh, thank the Lord. I don't know. I didn't think about I could only go so high, and now you got me covered, God. But 40 days is a long time to go without shade. So it looks like for a minute, God is okay with what Jonah is doing, but he's not. So when Jonah refused to get over his anger that day, God prepared a worm. A prepared worm. Wow. This is not any old worm. This is a prepared worm. How prepared is he, you're supposed to ask? Well, he's so prepared that when the morning rose the next day, he smote the gourd that it withered. Most worms I know eat a little bit on the leaf. This dude was prepared. He smote the gourd. He killed it overnight. This is one prepared worm. God knows how to take everything you've got away overnight. Overnight. If you don't want to do his will and you want to sit in anger and you want to sit in hatred and you want to know knowing the will of God and you don't want to do it, be prepared. God knows how to take away your health, your income, and everything. Oh, you say he won't do it? No, I'm telling you, you're wrong. Because you are his child, and his determination is to see to it that you do his will. He can put you flat on your back and say, Lord, if I ever get out of this, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to live for you. He's got a way of doing that. Oh, but wait, as they say, there's more. Jonah 4 and 8. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind.
oh, God is preparing things. He's got a wind coming. And this is not just any old normal east wind either. This is a vehement east wind. Amen. An east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. The gourd is dead. The wind is blowing that he fainted and wished for himself to die and said, it is better for me to die. I mean, this east wind was mean. It was a mean east wind. Amen. My daddy always said, the fish don't bite on the east wind. You'll get an earache. This east wind would dry your lips out and you'd be just chapped. And here he is. God had prepared, knowing that he would sit in his anger, prepare to win. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. This dude won't change his mind. I do well. Well, my daddy used to tell me, he said, if you want to cry, I'll give you something to cry about. God's going to tell him, you want to die, I'll give you something to die about. I'll let you die if you want to die, but you're going to die in the wind. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for that which thou hast not labored. You didn't do anything for it. Neither madest it grow. I did that which came up in a night and perished in a night by that mean old worm. Came up in a night with what I prepared and my worm ate it up. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 people and cannot discern their right hand from their left? They're like the gourd. They're as dumb as the gourd. And also much cattle. Should I not spare people? And so Jonah, this is the end of Jonah. It's the end of Jonah. It is the end of Jonah. And so what I got to close. The wheel, the whale, the weed, the worm, the wind. All of this to get this. All of this you didn't have to go through. You don't have to go through the whale. You don't have to go through the weed. You don't have to go through the worm. You don't have to go through the wind if you'll just do the wheel. Just do the will of God. You won't have to worry about worms. You won't have to worry about all this other stuff. Because if he would have arose, the Bible said, the word of the Lord came to him and said, go cry against that big city. And the wickedness has come up before me. All he had to do was get up and go do it. And he wouldn't have went through all this. I'm trying to help y'all today. I'm trying to help you. That when God has a will for you, and he does, just take Nike's advice. Just do it. Amen. God bless you. Let's take a quick break and come back for morning worship.